Mason Fess. I thought he was going to bring his notebook up and write it all down.
What's your name? Mason. Mason. Father, we thank you for Mason. Mason, you have a pastoral heart. You have a heart for people. I see you at the leadership in you. I just see that God's just going to activate leadership. Even now, it's already begun. You're on that road for leadership development. Leadership in the house of the Lord, and I believe that you're going to be pastoring with a pastoral heart. And when I say pastor, I'm not just saying like the senior pastor of a church. I'm talking about you're going to be moving pastorally, like an associate pastor. Even at an early age, you're going to be one that other pastors can say, you know, I can use you. I can put you here. I can put you here and or put you in this department, and that you're going to step into those areas. So it's a time for you to be comfortable with the new. Can you do that? Be comfortable with the new, because it's a season where God's going to begin to put you in places where you have not quite done that yet. But I sense that what's up ahead is the new journey, the new thing that's up ahead. The Lord says to you, son, I'm putting you in new things. And yes, it's uncomfortable at first, but you can do it because God is releasing an expression in you that is in you that God wants you to know you can absolutely do this. Man, I just sense like I want to laugh over you, like I want to rejoice over you. This is a time of celebration for you. This is a time of self-discovery for you. This is a time of you realizing, I didn't know I had all that good stuff in me. It's in you. So I'm just letting you know, man of God, it is in you. The high call of God is in you. You've been in training, and now it's time for opportunity. God didn't create you to sit idle in the third row. God didn't create you just to watch everybody else talk. No, no, no. You are going to get involved. You're going to be, even at a young age, I see you fathering others. I see you moving with a wisdom beyond your years. I see you helping others in their spiritual development. I'm going to give you the gift of people. Is there such a gift? Well, there must be. That's what I heard over you. I'm going to give you the gift of people, connecting with people, loving people, praying with people, walking with people, knowing how to encourage people when they're going through some of the rough times of life. God's going to put you in the middle of that. And I just see that no matter where you go, it's like no matter where you go, you're not going to be able to get away from it. They're just going to, you're going to be in that role, and you're going to be seen as one who moves as a pastor. There's a youth pastor in you as well. There's someone in you that you're how old are you? 20. 20. All right. You're a youth. but even among your peers, God has given you a wisdom that they can listen to what you're saying and know that there's weight in it. There's authority in it. There's life in it. There's life in your gift, and you're coming to that season where God is going to teach you a very key lesson in your life. Trust the gift that I've given you. Trust it. Trust what I've put on the inside of you. Trust me as I open up these new opportunities for you and you step into this new role. There's a prophetic flow in you too. There's prophetic in you, man of God. You can't get away from that. You're going to prophesy. You're going to prophesy with the prophets, and you're going to prophesy, and you're going to learn how to emerge prophetically. And it's this prophetic pastoral thing. It's this, Mason, I have a problem. Yes, here's what your problem is. I didn't even tell you yet. There's a prophetic pastoral gift in you that God is going to activate and cause you to move forward. Now I'm starting to see NASCAR, and I'm starting to see these cars racing around the track. I'm not a NASCAR fan, but I know more or less about it. Number 24. And I was seeing NASCAR going around the track and just going, and all of a sudden you were in there. And I felt like God was saying that you're in a time of acceleration. This is going to be a time where you're going to go and you're going to go fast. Learn all you can now. Develop now. Take it all in now, because God is going to, I sense a short season from all that you're taking into hitting the ground running. Like there's almost like barely any time to prepare. God's just going to open up the road for you, and you are about to take off. God's also going to link you with, I believe that the School of the Prophets will be something that you'll be a part of. You're going to be a part of prophets that are going to mentor you from other regions, prophets that are going to be a part of. You're laughing. Are you smiling or are you laughing? Oh, you're doing okay. All right. You're going to be a part of School of the Prophets, but understand, you'll have a leg in both. You'll do some pastoring, you'll do some prophesying. And then the days ahead, the Lord says, not only will you be spiritual father, but you'll actually be a father in the future and a good one as well. I feel like you're going to learn concepts of what spiritual fathering is, and it's going to help you in your life, in your future as being an actual father once you're married and once you are, you know, bringing a family forth, that you're going to be known as one who loves his children and knows how to be a good father. God's going to give you enough time to practice it, to develop it spiritually, and it's going to help you in your actual life. So I prophesy that in Jesus' name.
They're not talking about you. They're talking about me. They just whisper. You're looking good there, buddy. We thought this guy was impressive. Did you call each other like, you wearing a tie? No, are you wearing a tie? I'm wearing a tie. Yeah, you called. Yeah. I figured. But you, sorry, but he went up to you. He goes, I'm wearing a coat. I'm putting a coat on. But listen, you're not a coat and tie guy. This is not every Sunday. This is not the real you. You're more like jeans and camo. Yeah. Yeah. You like to get in the dirt. You like to get dirty. No, you never go, ooh. That word doesn't exist in you because you don't have a way to describe ooh, because everything's like, that's cool. Oh, that doesn't bother me. Slime, no problem. Mud, no problem. Dirt, you're a man of the earth. And you're kind of like David. You're ruddy. That was a word used. He was a ruddy guy. You don't mind getting down, getting dirty, getting out, getting rough. You don't mind killing things, shooting things, and burying them. I mean, you just don't mind that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's a love of the land and a love of nature and a love of God. All comes in one package for you. And yet you love the house. I want to just kind of give you an analogy. I had to look it up real quick, and it was Rehoboam. Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and he took over for Solomon. When Solomon died, he became the king, and he made a little mistake. Made a big mistake. He made a little mistake because he began to listen to his peers instead of the ancient men that walked with his daddy. And I just want to give you a biblical warning out of that. Learn from Rehoboam tonight. You're not going to get the wisdom you need from your friends and your peers, except this guy. He's okay to hang around because he's going to be studying the Bible all the time. What I'm saying is you're going to be making some decisions as a leader, okay? And God somehow has connected you to an older generation that you're going to get wisdom from. See, Rehoboam made the mistake. He rejected the wisdom and the counsel of the ancient men that walked with his father, and he listened to his buddies. And so you're not going to get the wisdom you need from your own generation. You got to go above it. And I even see where you're not going to be you're not going to be a conference junkie. You're not going to run to this conference, run to that conference. You're going to be very selective in where you're going to get your download from. God says be very selective, but go to the ancient men. There's some incredible wisdom that you're going to get downloaded, because in about 10 years, some of those ancient men won't be here. And you're going to be looking at things. You're only 20, and you're in your mid-30s. You're not going to come into the fullness of your calling until you're almost 40. Something's going to happen right about 40-ish. You're going to be doing stuff that we haven't even seen on the earth when it comes to church. You're going to be building models of outreach and intake. Outreach and intake. You're going to be pastoring and prophesying and shepherding and building and doing all. You're going to be a fivefold commodity. You're going to have a little bit of that flowing. See, it's all Christ. It's Christos. And there's the prophetic Christ, and there's the apostolic Christ, and there's the evangelistic Christ, and the pastoral Christ, and the teaching Christ. It's all one Christ, though. All right? It's one Christ. And there's no deficiency in any of them. And there's no superiority in any of them. There's no inferior part of the body of Christ. There's no greater gift. There's no inferior gift. It's all Christ. So here's the deal. You're going to be absorbing anything and everything you can get from all of Christ and all that the Holy Spirit will bring to you. Everything that he offers, drink it all in. And the day's going to come in your late 30s, God's going to begin to fine-tune that. He's going to sink it down into an expression of Christ in the earth that's going to help move the church toward the finish. It's not the end yet, but you know what? There is an end. There's a clear end, and there is a finish, and you're going to be part of a generation that's going to move the church closer to the finish with speed. Here's the other thing I saw in you. Even though you love the outdoors and nature, and you just love not being rushed. Boy, do you hate being rushed. Probably one of your most famous phrases in your last 10 years, from the time you were 10 to 20 in your teens, was like, just a minute. Not yet. Hold on. I'm not ready. Wait. What's your first name?
Mason.
Wait. Mason. I just hear this kind of a shrill, Mason. This, Mason. And behind that is, hurry up. Behind that is, I'm impatient. And you're just going, I don't like impatience. I don't do impatient. You're just like, just chill out and wait. Just, it's okay. You said to be home at 6. What's the difference? It's a clock. You just have a different view, and God loves that. Drove your parents nuts, but God loves it. You're not ready for a wife yet, by the way. Brother, you drive her crazy. You need a few more years to mature and get like a fine wine. You know, just if we uncork you now, it's not there yet. Be satisfied. Now, here's God's throwing the table back in your head. He goes, Mason, what? Wait. Wait a little longer. Just a little longer. Just a little longer. Because God's got some work he's going to really build in you. And it's very important. Really important. Because your marriage is going to carry weight. Some significant kingdom weight is going to be put on you and God, who God yokes you to. He's going to really yoke you together in a very proper kingdom way so you can pull together a big load. I see a big sled behind you, and God's going to put some significant weight on that sled. And it's nothing you can pull by yourself. Absolutely can't do it. So God has to get that right person in the yoke with you. Here's the thing. You just can't do it. You can't rush it. So just like you're like, yeah, you can't rush me. And guess what? You can't rush God either. So relax, dude. Relax. Enjoy. Enjoy singleness. Ask any married man in this room. You better enjoy it now because, no, I'm kidding. You will enjoy God's time. You will enjoy the process. But let me just say this last thing. I touched on it. It's urgent and it's faster than you think. You're going to blink and you're going to be married, have kids, and be doing stuff. You're blink and you're going to be 40. I mean, it's going to be quick. So get ready. Really, the word is you better get ready for the urgency of God to push you and speed things up. God is speeding the earth up. No, it's not spinning faster. God is speeding things up on his timetable because we're moving toward the finish. If he didn't, he would have never allowed the internet to come into the earth in this hour, but he did. We are the first globally connected internet generation that's ever lived on this planet. We're doing things no other generation has ever been capable of doing ever. And it's changed everything. And it's a sign from heaven, through technology, I'm moving globally and I'm moving fast. And so we can't wait to get the next device. We can't wait to get the next, you know, more memory. We can't wait to get the new high-speed internet. It's like God speeded up. We're crying out. We don't even know it. God, this internet's driving me crazy. I tried to download it. It took me 15 seconds to download that. We're just not satisfied with speed. And so God says, oh, you want speed? I'll bring you speed. Brother, you're going to speed things up in the kingdom. You're going to speed things up in the church. You're going to be a little bit of an irritant to leaders, and God gives you permission. Okay? Okay, let's be biblical. The Bible says, provoke one another to good works. So provoke. You have biblical permission to provoke to good works. Upgrades. You know, here's the deal, bro. God's going to use you to renovate and upgrade systems in the church. Systems of reaching people. Systems of shepherding. Systems of discipleship. Technology. All that. God's going to give you a badge. Okay? Systems upgrader. You're going to have upgrade systems to move. Okay? The transformation of people faster. That's what it's all about. We're not going to do an 18-week course. Okay? To get someone in the church. You're going to slam it down just 4 weeks. 4 weeks you're in, okay? Boom, 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 boom. Let's get in, get going, and hand them a broom. Do something. Say, get busy. You know, God's just going to use you to speed things up. That's why it's really urgent that you get into your zone of your current calling, because the second level's coming faster than you can blink. Amen. Good man.
So, first, just a disclaimer. Mason's in my prophetic discipleship group. We spent all day together prophesying today. He sought me out. I got a word for you. This is a scripture from from Exodus 15, verse 27. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. God has had your family on a journey, your grandparents, your dad, mom, and you. And you've come out of captivity and been brought by the Lord through many perils and dangers as a family. And he's brought you even past, as a family, past the bitter water made sweet. When they came through, they came to the bitter springs, but God turned it sweet. God's done that for your family. He's turned the bitter sweet. But now he's bringing you to a new place. And the thing with being a Fess is it's not just you that's being brought here. It's the whole family. But his eye is now on you. And he's bringing you to Elim. So I want to talk about it just a minute. First, there were 12 springs. So there was a spring for each one of the 12 tribes of Israel. This speaks of blessing and plenty. And of the crushing of the spirit of poverty. The spirit of poverty says there's never enough to go around. If you take that piece of chicken, somebody else can't have one. But the 12th spring says you've got a spring for yourself. It'll well up around you. If you look at your neighbor, there'll be a spring around him. Your neighbor over here, there'll be a spring around her. There'll be full provision for the full house of God. A spring for each tribe. So you're going to walk in that and discover that. This blessing of plenty over every child you have. There'll be full provision. There'll be a spring for each one of your children. Think about this, Mason. A spring for each one of your children. You get this now. And you're going to be a father and you're going to think, well, there's only this much to go around. But God's going to say to you, Mason, for this kid, there's a spring around him. There's university. There's everything he needs. All of his life, this spring will follow him. You're going to walk in this. Second, there were 70 palm trees. I've only got one interpretation for this. When Moses released the anointing of leadership over the whole nation, he appointed 70 elders. God's going to give you an anointing to release the leadership of God over many other people. The same way he did with Moses, 70 becomes the number. 70 elders. You're going to lay your hands on many people. They're going to receive a leadership gifting and anointing. You will not dwell alone. You will not be a single man. You will not be a single leader. But many will follow you and you'll raise up many. And so God says, live at the springs of Elim and dwell there and learn how to build your tent in a big place, in a wide place, and live in it. Does that make sense to you? You're called. Did I tell you this today? You're called as a legacy man. Did I say that to you today? Well, okay, I meant to. God's called you to be a legacy man. It's never going to be just about you. By the way, the camouflage is what you're wearing now. Because that's not the true you, that's the camouflage. You're trying to blend in, but brother, you don't blend in. You don't. You've never been called to blend in. So does this make sense about Elim? It's going to take you years for this to work down in your heart and into your mind to understand the blessing God has got and the fullness of a provision that's beyond what your family has walked in. They've come through peril to bring you to this place. And you stand on their shoulders. You do. Take advantage of it, because you walk at a height much more than what you could earn yourself. But between your grandparents and your parents, you're standing on their shoulders, and God's going to use you. Build your tent at Elam, says the Lord.
Lord, I thank you for my son, Mason. I thank you for the blessing he has been to us, Lord, and to others. Lord, we, as his parents, bless him. And we release him to the full inheritance that you have for him. Lord, we release him to the full calling and ministry you've laid out before him. That at the end of his days, it will be said that he's accomplished everything you've asked him. We take these words and bind them to his heart. In Jesus' name.